9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. I am your host, Captain DJ Mave, and you are listening to Out and About on KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Welcome, everyone. I'm a little sleepy. Just got back from a long backpacking trip. Just blew back into town. And got cleaned up and walked on down here. So hopefully I'm not slurring my words or falling asleep at the microphone here. But I am excited because I have Robin Lang with me here today. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, Robin. I met Robin actually at the Pride Festival. And I'm a veteran, and so I'm always very effusive about the care I get at the VA, you know. And so I went up to Rob and I thank you so much. Thank you so much for the care I receive. And then Robin said, that's not us. We're the Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs. Does that happen a lot where people...
It does. A lot of people don't even know that the state has... every state has a VA office.
Yeah. So every state does have one. Mm-hmm. And how do you jibe kind of with the National Department of Veteran Affairs? Is there a connection with them and the stuff you do and... to get the word out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the state generally kind of fills in the blanks where the federal government perhaps. So if you've been to Medical Lake, you've maybe seen that we have retirement homes, we have a cemetery, we have counseling, we have transitional housing, we have a lot of stuff that the federal government doesn't fall on. But I do work hand in hand especially with the veteran care coordinators.
Okay.
So every medical facility in the VA has a veteran care coordinator.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. And you are the LGBTQ+ veterans outreach coordinator. And there's no really good acronym for that, is there?
There is not. LGBT
walk. Yeah. That just doesn't work. And how long has there been an LGBTQ veterans coordinator?
So I am actually the first person to hold this position. And if we back up a little bit, in 2020, the legislature passed a law saying that this position will be created to be able to assist LGBTQ veterans connecting to their benefits. And so in 2020, they created the position and then... obviously, the VA or the state VA advertised it, so I came on board in 2021.
Okay.
So since 2021.
Okay, I guess I kind of remember that now because I was the first group that was on the commission, the LGBTQ commission, and I remember there was some talk about coordination with them on things like that. So you're the first one. So when you became the first person to do this, did you kind of like get to create what you wanted to do then?
Right. So the law actually outlines exactly what I have to do.
Okay.
Not how I have to do it, but it gives three or four. Basically, the gist of it is the law says you will assist LGBTQ veterans with accessing their benefits, helping them with discharge upgrades, name changes, information about benefits and things like that. So yes, I did get to build it from the ground up. In my very first year, I actually wrote it was required by the law that I had to write a report to the legislature. Wow. with about 3 months of experience.
Well, that's, you know, and that's something that people don't think about too is, you know, when you sit down, when you transition, all your investments, mm-hmm. all of your, and I would assume you were a veteran as well. Yeah.
Yep.
What branch were you in?
So I was in the Army. I'm actually retired from the Army.
How long ago did you retire?
I retired in 2015. So I served just over 20 years.
Did you retire out of Fort Lewis then?
I did. Yep. I was the chief information officer for the hospital there.
Oh, no kidding. Yes. Well, that's what a great, that dovetails so, so nicely. Yeah. But people don't think about, you know, your DD Form 214, all of that stuff, your, all your ID cards, all of that, that needs to be changed. And the gender marker needs to be changed. And I remember doing my Social Security and waiting all day to talk to a guy. And I had everything on the, written down correctly, but it wasn't in the order that they wanted it.
Oh, goodness.
And so I had, I requested a name change and gender marker change. And I went up there behind, you know, the bulletproof glass, the guy's sitting, and I'm like, what do you mean? I've all the stuff is here. And he looks at me and he goes, well, would you like to have the name changed today? Or would you like to come back for that one too?
Oh,
I'm like,
geez.
Oh, okay. I understand. I understand what you're doing here. Yeah. I will behave. So, yeah. So it's, and so you throw the military in there. There's a whole nother level.
Yeah. With the DD-214. So that's, it's a historical document. So they don't change it automatically.
Yeah.
Because it serves as a record of how you served at that time. Just like if somebody gets married, they don't go back and change the
right.
DD-214. So you have to submit a packet to a board explaining to them why it's an injustice for you to have your dead name on your on your records.
And I did that, and I got mine changed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, but the problem with that too is when you're dealing with the VA for benefits, mm-hmm. is that now all of a sudden you, I got all screwed up because I had two different people. I was two different people with the same Social Security number, and it caused, and it still is causing problems, I think, as far as getting denials on things like that. But you are, so you live in Olympia. Do you live in Olympia or Tacoma or?
Close, Lacey.
It's, Lacey, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And then, but you're in Spokane now because you're, there's a conference. So when you want, why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Sure, so. Excuse me. Starting tomorrow, our agency, or your Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs, is hosting its 7th annual Serving Those Who Served conference. It's a completely free conference available to those that serve veterans. Topics range all over from anywhere from the new law that the state just passed, and we can come back, circle back to that later, but redefining a veteran. I'm actually doing a workshop on LGBTQ cultural competencies, as well as sort of the experiences of LGBTQ veteran and inclusive practices, so that anyone who does serve veterans can learn about the experiences that veterans have been through, and and why they may be reticent to come forward and request assistance based on their past treatment.
Okay, so this is more for people who'd be employers, not necessarily the veterans themselves.
Not necessarily the veterans. It's for those that serve the veterans. The topics cover they have variations. Sometimes it's on counseling. Sometimes it's there's networking sessions, PTSD sessions, workforce development. They kind of range all over. Post-traumatic growth, reentry service tips for case managers. I mean, so it's kind of benefits overviews for people who serve veterans, veteran service officers, and things like that.
Yeah. And so you you mentioned that there's a new definition of what a veteran is. That's interesting to me. I had no idea.
Yeah, so this year, the Attorney General proposed a bill. And what it does is it changes essentially the definition of force receiving state benefits, state veterans benefits. If we also back up a little bit, they, when Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and those rules were overturned, nobody went back and just automatically fixed everyone's discharge. Like if you were kicked out, they didn't upgrade your discharge or anything. So everyone that may have been kicked out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell for sometimes for PTSD or MST, military sexual trauma, or anything like that. This new law now says if those were the only reasons that veteran was removed from service, they can obtain state VA benefits.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. And the VA benefits for the state kicked in like, what, 70% or something like that? Or
So there are numerous benefits. I've probably got 4 or 5 pages,
okay.
Small font of the benefits that we offer, benefits and services as a state. So there's the way benefits in Washington are, there's some that are offered by us as your Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs, and then there's some that people associate with us. We don't control them, but like being able to get reduced costs on your property taxes or your license okay. plates or things like that. So we don't control those rules. So the rules vary
okay.
across the board on what levels. Some require like 0% as you're just a veteran.
Well, I guess I better do a little bit. I better spend a little time on that website. Because I was looking at one time for like fishing licenses. Yeah. Gonna reduce, I think you got to be 70% yeah. or something.
And that's another one that, yeah. that we don't control.
Right.
But now because of this, like say you were kicked out for perhaps you experienced a military sexual trauma. And because of that, your behavior changed or retribution, right. you were kicked out. And so you could never receive those benefits. Now you can go forward and show them that, look, this is why I was kicked out.
Oh, that's...
And now they can...
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's, you know, when you said don't look or don't ask, don't tell. It was funny because when I was in, that wasn't even in yet. You know, that would have been probably yeah. like 1991, I guess, is when I got out, or 92, I guess, was when I got out. But it was funny because I remember one time asking, and back then, you know, it wasn't even, the trans thing wasn't even on the radar. It was just, you know, being gay. Mm. And I remember having, you know, I was in B-52s. I flew B-52s. So my one of my things was, I was a bombardier on them. And we had like some big briefing with some, you know, headquarters guys. And I said, so what's the deal? Why are gay people not allowed to be in the military? And their rationale was, well, if they could be easily compromised because somebody could like, the Russians could get them in some kind of tryst.
Right.
And I thought, well, but the whole point of that is right. like, make it not a problem.
Exactly.
And then, you know, if it's not against the law, if they're not going to get kicked out, then the Russians don't have any sway over them. Yeah. I just was like, this, what you're telling me makes no sense at all. And it's funny how we kind of labor under these things that don't make sense.
Yeah. That,
for so long.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, did you transition when you were in the Army, or was that?
I did not. It was after the military.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I wonder how that, my brother, he retired from the Army and mm-hmm. his son is, went into the Army and his, I think it was his, a company commander was a trans woman.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I just think it's so much better when you get to be yourself, right? I mean, you have to worry.
Yeah.
All those brain cells going to something else. So this conference, this is the 7th annual one.
Mm-hmm.
Do they go back and forth, kind of west side, east side type of thing?
They try and spread it around. So I've been going, I've been to the last 2 or 3. The last 2 that I went to were in... Wenatchee. That was it.
Okay, so central then.
Yeah, and then so this time they decided on Spokane. I believe they're looking at other locations, but I know cost is a piece of that.
Do you get a pretty good showing? People.
Oh yeah, we met our capacity. I think we were shooting for close to 400, and I think we're at 423.
Wow! Maybe, something like that. And you know, around like the trans or the LGBTQ plus issues. For veterans, do you find that employers have like a lot of questions that they were like, I don't know how to do this or how do I comply, or where they're coming from when they talk to you afterwards? You find there's like a common theme sometimes among.
It's usually just how do I do this better?
Yeah,
I want to be better at serving the LGBTQ veteran community, and how overall do I do it better?
Yeah.
Tends to be the most common thing.
I would imagine there's probably a good percentage, of people who would classify themselves as LGBTQ+. I would imagine there's probably a pretty good percentage of veterans. I think.
And so if I use the Gallup polls. They release them every year, usually February or March, because there is no tracking of veterans by LGBTQ status. So I just use the national survey that they do. And for this year, in February or March of 2024, it was 7.6% of the population identifies as LGBTQ.
Wow.
So that, translating to the state, that's right about 40,000 veterans.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty incredible. And I think, you know, I think that what's always been good about the military is they've always kind of led the way as far as integration, and they just they want you to, it's people who can do the job.
Right.
And that's it, you know. Yes. And so you want to have a good pool of people, and so it would only make sense that they would be kind of leading the way and not being discriminatory, I would think. I don't know. And what, it's a 3-day, is it a 3-day conference or?
2 days.
2 days, okay. Mm-hmm. And then what was your, what are you speaking on yours?
So I'll be talking about the LGBTQ veteran experience.
Okay.
And then it kind of has three parts to it. So I open with that. In the middle, I sandwich in some information about state VA and federal VA services.
Okay.
And then on the end of it, I do inclusive practices.
Okay, very cool. Well, we're going to go. We've got a break for our 20-minute after-the-hour stuff, and we'll be right back, everybody. Thanks for listening to Out and About, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes or so.
First, I was afraid. I was putrefied. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned to get along. And from outer space, I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have asked you for the key. If I'd have known for just 1 second, you'll be back to bother me. Go on now, go on. Don't turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Once you're the one that's trying to hurt me with goodbye. Did you think I'd get in there? Did you think I'd lay down and die? You know that I as long as I know.
Howdy, folks. DJ Spokane Guy here. I host a music show called The Astral Range every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. on this here community radio station, KYRS. For each week's show, I'll take listeners on a curated journey from the homespun folk selections,
building up to a sky-minded plateau of psychedelic terrain,
then down the mountainside to base camp. Talking frontal lobe levitation, cerebellum sizzle,
medulla modulation,
and other forms of brain bubbling. Tune into the Astral Range, Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music, local interest, and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text Give KYRS to 44321 and help keep KYRS on the air.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for August 26th through the 29th. Monday, open mic with Alienated Records and Ben 10 at the Red Room, Corey Aileen at Mary Hill, and open mic at Live Entertainment. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Ron Green at the Osprey and David Jeter at Zola. Wednesday, PJ Destiny at Iron Horse in the Valley, Homebrew String Band at the Mac, Rock the Nest with Jessica Hafner, Dave Long, and others at Kendall Yards, Carrie Marguerite in the 76 at Beck's Harvest House, Zidestep and Eric Kegley at Zola, Pig Out in the Park with Shaden Hutchman, Tabitha Smith, Nate Ostrander, and many others, and Open Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Son of Brad at Arborcrest, the Brent Edstrom Quartet at Emma Roo's, Pig Out in the Park with Too Slim and the Tail Draggers, the Carrie Fly Band, Thirsty Boots, and many others, and Oxygen Destroyer, Anti-Sapien, and others at the Big Dipper. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Spectrum Center and the Northwest Business Alliance are hosting Out in the Park, September 21st from noon until 4 at Mission Park, 1208 East Mission Avenue, Spokane. This queer family fun day will feature a pickleball tournament, a bounce castle, face painting, vendors, button making, booths, artisans, and community resources. Details online at Spectrum Center's Facebook page. And now I got to do underwriting on a different page, so I got to go to a different thing here. Here we go. Okay, Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods, located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street, open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Welcome back, everybody. I am talking to Robin Lang, and Robin is the LGBTQ plus Veterans Outreach Coordinator for the Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs. And Robin has basically, she's the first one in this position. And so talking a little bit about what that's like. And there's a big conference that's in town right now, the 7th Annual Serving Those Who Served Conference tomorrow. And for employers and other folks who want to know how to better serve our veterans. Now, Robin, you and I were kind of in between the break a little bit. We were talking about how it's just not an automatic thing to get these things changed, as far as when you people who have been discharged other than an honorable discharge, I would imagine that's probably what it came down as, for being gay and during the don't ask, don't tell time in the from the military. So have you found that people are kind of surprised, or what percentage of people have not done this?
I'd say that the number of percentage of people who have not done this is 99%, roughly.
Wow.
So the last quote I had in the NPR article was that the Pentagon said that just over 1% of folks have upgraded their discharge, because, like I mentioned, it is not an automatic process. So if someone says, "Oh, congrats, you can go get this done," there's no magic wand. You actually have to apply for it,
right?
If you don't mind if I jump over, same with the pardon recently that President Biden signed for folks that were convicted of Article 125 violations. Folks can look it up, but it's consensual. But there are cases where people were imprisoned for having consensual relations with people. But this pardon just automatically, it does not automatically give you the pardon. It gives you the ability to go request the pardon. And then once you receive, if it's granted, you now have the ability to go over and then change your military records. Using that pardon as a piece of evidence of why your military records should be changed.
And so there's probably people listening right now that are under that circumstance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were also talking about how a daunting of a task it is, especially for the trans end of things, when you're changing gender markers and names and all that stuff. And it's kind of nice, because I would imagine now people know that they have an ally in you to kind of help them with the process. How would they find out? How would they get in touch with you if they wanted to start the process of fixing their records? And
The easiest thing to do is I could give you an email address, but if you just go to our website, the Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs, I have a page there and folks can reach out to me that way.
Yeah, that's probably the
easiest thing to remember.
Yeah, yeah, it's so much easier than email addresses for sure. Have you had very many people step up and kind of say, I'm going to do this?
I have numerous folks. It does take a while, though, and just the instruction sheet itself that we borrow from some other sources, but I mean, just the instruction sheet is 14 pages of instructions on how to fill out the paperwork and listing why it's an injustice for you to have your
dead that, you know, when you're doing this stuff, it's just, you just have to have the mentality sometimes if I'm in a, this is sort of like a hobby. That's how I did with my VA benefits, some of the stuff that got denied and I appealed and I lost. But, and then, you know, eventually if I think, you know, it's easy to say, I'm just going to give up at this point. But if you just kind of keep with it, there's really good benefits that you can get as a veteran. And if you were discharged for being gay or for having a consensual relationship with somebody of the same sex, gender, then you know, maybe you should look into this because you could be getting those benefits that you may be getting denied of. And you know, it's unfortunate, but sometimes you got to do the work to set these things straight.
So what I tell people is laws change all the time. So if you have been somewhere and they have told you, I'm sorry, you don't qualify, please come back, check in with the Veterans Service officer either with your Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs or any veteran service organization. Pick one out of the book. VFW or
is there as laws change, is there a way for people to keep up with that? I mean, as far as is there at your website, is there like a newsletter or like something that comes out and says, oh, this is a new law?
Right. We have a communications department that releases all of our updates. Actually, we just hired somebody to help put out the information about the new law with the new law, which allows those that don't have honorable discharges. So we hired a communications person to help put that information out.
What do you think is kind of the next? What's the next thing that could be coming down the pike as far as for LGBTQ plus veterans? Is there anything that's sort of on the horizon that comes to mind that that we're trying to get passed or trying to get things changed? Or I think Washington State, we're in so much better shape than so many other states.
Yeah, so Washington is one of two states that have a legislatively mandated position like mine. Oregon beat us to it, but that's the other state. My counterpart in Oregon that I actually work quite a bit with, his name is Ian Michael. But we're the only two states that have that. The mayor's office in D.C. has somebody who assists LGBTQ veterans, but it's not a state. So
yeah,
it's two states.
It is a shame. I mean, there is disparity for sure in these things. And you know, you don't want, I'm sure Idaho, if they said something like they'd be accused of being woke or something wonderful like that.
As far as the next thing, I don't have all the details in front of me, but I know there is a lawsuit right now with the Department of Defense about the discharge upgrades and making that something that's automatic. Like, why, you guys have all the data, why isn't this something that's just automatically occurring? And it sometimes folks have honorable discharges, but in the narrative section of their DD-214, it says they were perhaps kicked out for homosexual relations.
Oh, no kidding.
So now whenever you apply for a job, you have you have an honorable discharge, which is fabulous. But now you out yourself every time you give it to an employer and they look down at the bottom. So that's another thing, that it's not automatically changed. You have to apply to have that changed.
Yeah, that would be something. And you know, it's like one in Spokane, maybe Lacey maybe had the same thing as we had a lot of these descriptions in property when people would buy a home and it would say, you know, whites only, basically.
Yeah.
And we still have those on the books. And they're like, it's really hard to change some of that stuff, description of property and things like that. So that's cool that somebody could get that taken off, or maybe keep it on, go look historically, you know, can you believe this, you know? But yeah, it's such a different world, you know. Like I was mentioning, my brother's son, he doesn't think twice about having a trans company commander. Doesn't mean anything, you know. And I just think this is, I found that when I came out of the fire department, that was a big thing is a lot of the younger guys, it didn't matter, you know, culturally, it didn't raise any waves at all.
I had that concern when I transitioned in place. I worked for the Washington Military Department. So the commander of the National Guard. At the time, I didn't even do this kind of work. I did cybersecurity work.
Okay.
but I ran all cyber incident response for the state of Washington for our Homeland Security Advisor. But wow. I was worried when I transitioned that would be something like it would be sidelined or nobody would want to work or, you know, they don't do things on purpose, but like, oh, no, you're not going to this trip.
Yeah.
But I am proud to say that my boss there and everyone else, 110% supportive, kept me in the mix and had zero issues.
Wow. So cybersecurity is part of your background too.
Yeah, actually I started off in the military as a medic, an enlisted medic.
Okay.
In Germany. So but I did something called Green to Gold. It's a program where they release you from active duty. They send you to school for 4 years, get your degree, and then you come back in as an officer.
Oh, so you don't have to go through like an OTS type thing or?
No, it's a little different. It's ROTC essentially.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Very
so
cool.
So you go get your degree and you come back in as an officer. And I came back in as a Medical Service Corps officer.
Okay.
And then within Medical Service Corps, there's subspecialties. And my subspecialty was basically like hospital information systems.
Okay.
So all of the deployment communications and everything that's in medical facilities.
And so you probably, when you see what's going on here at RVA hospital with the Cerner thing, Oracle Cerner thing, that's got to be a little bit frustrating for you when you look at that, like, why can't they get this right?
That's always been a concern. When I was serving, the two systems really didn't even talk. They had specialized software to kind of hand things around. But it's definitely frustrating.
Yeah. And, you know, I to their credit, I have to say everybody works there. They're just so good at like saying, you know, I'm going to have to write this down for you.
No.
And they're just, but you know, they know, and they're patient with it and so kind about it. Mm-hmm. When you transitioned, you didn't have any real road bumps and I just think what is it with, I find a lot of trans people are really kind of drawn to like, computers and kind of like, why is that, do you think? Or you know,
it is. There's a lot of IT and a lot of,
it's a lot of figuring stuff out, you know, a lot of that.
I've also noticed a high prevalence of neurodivergence.
There really is. There really is. Yeah, that's what they say that, like autism kind of stuff goes hand. Mm-hmm. I kind of have like the anti Asperger thing. I think I'm kind of like on the way on the other end of things, so which isn't good either, but so that is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And so when you do in your job right now, so you'll have this job basically as long as there's, I mean, do you have anything that this transitions into or any desires for anything, or this is just kind of it for now?
So I tell folks, and I know this will sound silly, but I tell folks that my goal is to work myself out of a job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one, because I was just brought up that you should never hold a job just to hold a job.
Yeah.
You should be doing something that brings value to people.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll ever happen, that this position won't be necessary. But that's my goal. I'm working as well as I can to try and get, one, the word out that this organization and many others are here to help you. And you are perhaps you may be eligible for benefits just because of laws always changing.
Yeah, that's, I think sometimes when we do the, you know, the Pride Festival and all that, it's kind of along the same lines of thinking of like, well, you know, someday maybe we won't have to have these festivals. And then, you know, and then pretty soon you're thinking that, and then the pickup truck comes by and, you know, rolls some coal. And you go, well, maybe we'll have to be doing this for a little bit longer.
Yeah. I feel that. I think that, like, oh, things are going so well. And then I'll get an email from somebody who tells me I'm a horrible person and they don't support what I'm doing. And how dare I? They're a veteran and we don't support what you do. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
Were we in Iraq at the same time? Were we in Afghanistan at the same time? I don't remember seeing you.
It's a funny thing about veterans, though, because I remember I went to an Elvis Costello concert, Elvis Costello concert here in Spokane. And there was a guy who was causing some problems. And I kind of like confronted him a little bit, you know, and I wasn't being out of line or anything. And he said he was a veteran. And I said, well, I'm a veteran too. And he looks at me and goes, well, how old are you? And I told him, you know, it's probably 20 years ago. And he was probably like 10 years older than me. He goes, you're too young. And I said, well, you know, after you left, they kept doing it. They kept having a military.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just kept going. You know, he kind of scratched his head over that. So, yeah, it's funny that everybody thinks that their experience is the universal experience. But it's not, you know.
Oh, that's so funny.
But that's kind of interesting, getting that kind of blowback. I always found, you know, the time when I was in, it was very much as far as like liberal viewpoints versus conservative viewpoints. And I'd say, you know, this was the Air Force too. So it's a different thing. But, you know, I'd say probably it was like 2/3 liberal to 1/3 conservative when I was in. And I know those things have kind of changed and they go back and forth a little bit. But people, you know, have to realize that, you know, you can serve your country and be a trans person or gay person or whatever, and your service is just as good and more, just as valued as anybody else.
Yeah, that's sometimes that comes up in public sessions. Just this position existing. Sometimes it comes up. It's like, oh, why are we spending money on this? You are such a small percentage of the population. You know, why are we giving you special services? And one, we're all veterans. We're all just trying to access benefits. We're not trying to get anything special. But I mean, we give smaller populations all kinds of attention at times. I mean, think of what we lavish on our police forces. And I believe nationwide, there's, if you include 600,000 police officers, if you include federal officers, maybe 800,000. How many LGBTQ folks are in the U.S.? 18 million? We lavish attention and subsidies and stuff on farmers. How many farmers are there? 2 million.
Yeah.
It's
and also it's undoing some of the things that were injustices, you know, and ameliorating those. And it is funny that people just think that their experience is the only experience. And I just feel like, you know, it's funny in Washington State, I can go any place I want, nobody ever gives me a second look. Mm-hmm. But you go to other states like New York, I would get looked at. Minnesota, which is a pretty liberal place, same thing.
Wow.
And in fact, I really got hassled in the Minneapolis airport at one of their restaurants by a waitress,
you know.
And it was just kind of funny. And that's kind of where I am now. It's just sort of like, this is just sort of funny. I don't really get angry. It's just kind of like, this is kind of a wacky thing, but yeah. And I always feel like Spokane is really, and maybe people know me more here, but I always feel like I never get hassled by anybody.
I've been throughout the state, even some of our far east reaches. And it seems that on a population level, there's often like in numbers, folks get upset
yeah.
at this community, but at an individual level, I mean, I know yeah. not everyone is supportive, but it seems like most of the time when I get folks on an individual level,
yeah.
they're fine.
Yeah. What kind of advice do you give employers who are looking for to do a better job for their LGBTQ plus folks?
So actually, I have a whole workshop on that.
Okay. Just a nutshell.
Yeah. So like I said, there's two parts to that. One is understanding the experiences of the veteran, understanding how there's been bait and switches throughout, depending on who's in charge, the rules change. Understanding that folks, how they're treated poorly, how they're perhaps they experience unhoused individuals higher percentage than the regular population, just all of those experiences. And then on the other side, the basic cultural competencies of using pronouns appropriately, understanding the difference between gender, sex, identity, like yeah. all the different things, understanding the letters, understanding the flags, what they mean. And I'm stalling because I'm looking for my slides on everything.
That's okay. No, I think you've given a lot of.
There we are.
Oh, there. There's your slides.
Yeah. So, and there's a heck of a lot of them. Oh my goodness. So I talk about allyship, and then there's the LGBTQ letters, the flags, multisexualities. Understanding the difference between gender identity and expression and sex assigned at birth and physical attraction and romantic attraction, binary versus non-binary. We cover intersectionality. I like to talk about identity being a journey and not just like, it's, you know,
yeah, I'm here.
Here's your identity card.
Yeah, right.
I talk about how that isn't quite the truth for everybody. Pronouns, pronoun etiquette, what to do if you make a mistake, chosen name and legal names, especially for people providing services so that they can understand why certain folks may not have changed their name. I know there's, I think, 3 states right now that they're ignoring court-ordered name changes for licenses. I believe that was Texas, and then there was some up north. I don't remember if it was one of the Dakotas or not, but I mean, there's some folks that they can't even change their name. So I talk about that, why they may have a chosen name versus a legal name. I talk about it, asking about assigned sex at birth and, you know, do you really need to do that? Why does your form have that on it? You know,
yeah.
just being nosy or, then I go over just a big grouping of, inclusive practices. And then I say, I'm looking at the bonus material now and some vocabulary, just understanding basic vocabulary,
yeah.
things like that.
I think the big thing is people are going to screw up and,
yeah.
and it's like, you know, I think as always, there's no malice involved. Mm-hmm. And that's like, when I transitioned, I had friends say, I'm afraid I'm going to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make them nervous. I'm like, well, you know, I love you and you love me. And and if you screw up, it's just a screw up. Don't sweat it. I'm yeah. not going to go crying, you know, yeah. running away crying. It's like,
that's actually what I open with the class is.
Crying?
Well, only on Thursdays. But oh, no, this week's class is on Thursday. no, so generally the classes, I the workshops I do, they're self-selecting. So the people who come there want to be there. There's nobody forced to be
right.
there. So.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, I have all this material, but just do your best. I mean, as long as you're trying your best, folks give you all kinds of grace. If you don't belabor the apology, like, oh, sorry, next, and you move on. It's my mom. Oh, my goodness. My mom is my biggest support fan.
Oh, that's so good.
And she still struggles with pronouns.
Yeah.
But there's no malice in it.
Yes.
I apologize for outing my mom like this, but I have seen my mom cry because she has messed up pronouns and she wants to get it right.
Yeah.
So I know there's no malice involved.
No.
And I tell people, just, you know, all this stuff is great, but if you just try your best.
Yeah, my mom, she didn't take the news very well, but over the years, she's really come around. Mm-hmm. But the pronoun thing is still hard for her, and I don't ever correct or any of that. I just go, just ride with it. You know, it's just fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only time I ever do anything is when I know it's like a malicious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'll correct, but then sometimes I just misgender them back. That's kind of fun. I figure, okay, we're having fun. You're having fun. I'm having fun. Let's do this. So yeah. So, but anyway, okay, we're going to do our 20. Oh, we're a little bit late. We're doing good. And we're going to do our 20 minute till the hour stuff, and then we're going to be right back.
Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. An injury to one is an injury to all.
KYRS wants your brand new car. Well, not really. Yes, indeed, it's a great feeling to finally get another car after the old one's been breaking down over and over. It's another great feeling to get even more use out of an old car. Here's how. Donate it to KYRS. Car donors get a membership, a tax deduction, and the satisfaction of really helping out. Just call toll-free 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Honk, honk!
Oh, I love that honk, honk part at the end. To me, that's all about selling the sizzle right there. And, you know, this is, I'm doing a new thing here where I don't read my underwriter. I do that at 20 minutes after, and I'm just feeling a little naked right now because I'm a creature of habit. But I am back here with Robin Lang, and Robin is the LGBTQ plus veterans outreach coordinator. She's from Olympia, but she is here in Spokane because Spokane is hosting the 7th annual Serving Those Who Serve conference, which is helping employers and other folks know how to navigate the world of veterans, helping veterans out at work. And then also, Robin kind of is here talking about a different subset of veterans. And we were have been having great conversations during the breaks here. So we're going to rehash that a little bit. But we were talking about how great it is to bring your full self to work. What a better deal it is for an employer to have, whether that person is a veteran or not, to have this person being able to tell the truth about themselves and who they are. And you've had a similar kind of experience yourself, right?
I did. I think we're pretty fortunate here in Washington that our governor has business resource groups for folks that work in Washington. I'm going to turn my head and cough real quick.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm running out of steam.
No, no worries. And I'm just hoping you don't hear my hearing aids. My hearing, you know, between you being hoarse there and my hearing aids going crazy.
Oh no!
It's like we're just like we're disabled veterans working the crowd. But yeah.
So our governor has business resource groups, and he has several of them. There's some for veterans, some for people of color, Asian Pacific Islanders. There's numerous different business resource groups, but one of them is called RAIN, and that's the Rainbow Alliance and Inclusivity Network. But the goal of that group is to make it so that you are able to bring your whole self to work. It's endorsed by the governor. There's all kinds of subgroups there that help write best practices for the state. Pronoun usage, coming out at work. But having something like that, knowing that there's something that I can lean on to make me feel comfortable. Like I told you that during the break, when I went to the HR department to tell them that I wanted to transition in the workplace, I actually used the words right out of the manual.
Oh, nice.
Because I wanted to bring my whole self to work. And
yeah,
because of having resources like that, it was a no-brainer. She's like, okay, let's go. It wasn't a question of like, I don't know what you're talking about. But just because the governor stands behind groups like that, it makes a huge difference.
And people don't realize that's the importance of these laws, too. Mm-hmm. I was treated really well in the fire department when I came out. And but people would comment on that. But I would say, well, you know what? I wouldn't have come out if I didn't have the law on my side.
Yeah.
If it was going to cost me my job and a way to feed my family and all that stuff, I would have just kept burning up bandwidth. And that's another thing we were talking about, too, is how much when you aren't able to be yourself, whether it is an issue of transgender stuff or being what your sexual orientation is, any of that, when you're not able to be who you are, your mind is always working on ways to navigate that. And now, My wife always talks about how she never used to have to worry about anything because I always had a plan A, B, C, D, and basically an algorithm where things fell and what we would do, anything, whether it was a road trip or, kids getting into university, whatever it was. And now I've fallen out of that. And a lot of that's being retired, but a lot of it's like, I don't have to think about surviving stuff because I can just be who I am and I'm protected by the law.
Yeah.
You know?
I was saying this before, that I was out everywhere except at work. So I used up so much bandwidth on imagine when Sunday night rolls around and you have to go back to work and pretend to be somebody else.
Probably
half of my brain being engaged in just those activities,
right.
Just bringing myself to tears, knowing that I have to go back to work.
Yeah.
So just being able to come into work, and then hear my boss say, if you have a problem with her, that's your problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And that's it's good. And that's good that everybody knows what the law is. Aww.
No.
Oh yeah, and we're gonna boogie.
Okay.
And we're all done. Yeah, and I'm gonna play my closing credits here. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Robin, for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And make sure you go check out the your Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs website.
Sounds good.
And now to Eden, yea, brother. And now to Eden, no more trouble in my body. Like a king on whatever I find, eat all the fruit and throw away the rind. Yeah, brother, yeah.
From New York. This is Democracy Now!
We were subjected to severe torture and my little finger was broken. I was repeatedly subjected to hitting on the head, causing bleeding multiple times. There was almost daily torture in the Israeli prisons. When prisoners' cells were raided daily, they were severely beaten every day. We say this with full certainty, and we lived through it with great bitterness.
Human Rights Watch is calling on the International Criminal Court to investigate Israel for arbitrarily detaining and torturing Palestinian healthcare workers. We'll go to Ramallah to speak with the co-author of the new report on the harrowing experiences of 8 doctors, nurses, and paramedics recently held in Israeli prisons. Then, sky-high rents and a housing shortage are major issues in the elections here in the United States.
Some corporate landlords collude with each other to set artificially high rental prices, often using algorithms in price-fixing software to do it. It's anti-competitive, and it drives up costs. I will fight for a law that cracks down on these practices.
Rent going up? One company's algorithm could be why. We'll speak with the ProPublica reporter whose explosive investigation into RealPage helped prompt a Department of Justice lawsuit. And we'll speak with Tara Raghavir with KC Tenants and the newly launched Tenant Union Federation, the first major nationwide effort at tenant organizing in 40 years. Finally, the baby food shortage. How do U.S. regulators put trade policy above baby formula supply? All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations has paused aid operations in Gaza after Israel ordered another mass evacuation from Deir al-Balah, where the UN had been forced to move its operations center after Israel attacked Rafah. This comes as medical staff have been forced to evacuate patients from Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, the last functioning medical facility in central Gaza. This is Louise Wateridge of the UN agency UNRWA speaking from Deir al-Balah.
To describe the situation here, it's just catastrophic.